I'm thankful for the work of the Lord in my life. And I'm reminded of the need of that work every single day as I get up in the morning and I look in the mirror and I see me. I see a man who is in need of forgiveness every day. I see a man who is in need of strength every day that is not my own. I see a man that I know wasn't worthy for God to send his son for. But he loved me that much, so he did. The truth is the same with all of us as we wake up in the morning. We should never get to the place where we think we have arrived or we have achieved or that we are now somehow good enough or thinking that God in redeeming us kind of got a really good deal. In reality, we need to be reminded that it was the just who died for the unjust. It was the one who needed no repentance that died for those who needed repentance. And on this day, on Christmas Eve, we celebrate the first Advent and the culmination of that Advent season, as we have read from the scriptures the last four Sundays from the Gospel of Luke. And we come to tonight, the eve of anticipation of the day in which we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, born of a virgin, laid in a manger, and who would live a perfect and sinless life upon this earth. And he would indeed be tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin, so that he indeed could fulfill what the first Adam couldn't, living in perfect obedience to God's law, making him the only acceptable sacrifice, the propitiation for our sin, one taking the place of another, he exchanging his righteousness for our sin, taking it upon himself. Tonight, I just want to read a few scriptures to draw our attention and to frame our minds and our hearts around Jesus, who is truly the reason that we celebrate Christmas. He is the central truth of all of scriptures. And I want to draw your attention to several truths about Jesus Christ being the promised one of God, being the one who would fulfill all that the prophets of old declared through the message that God had given them to bear, and that he would come to the earth just as it was said, and he would be one who would come to rule and to reign in righteousness. I'm going to read from Isaiah the prophet tonight in verse number 6. The scripture says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Several truths that I want to draw from this tonight in just a brief few moments, that we can recall the glorious celebration, specifically of the incarnation. of the Lord being born, being the fulfillment of even this promise. I mentioned Sunday as I preached from 1 John, and I referenced this passage of Scripture. And I reminded you, as I've done many times before, that this prophecy of Isaiah was some 700 years before it would be fulfilled when Jesus Christ would be born. The Scripture declares, "For unto us a child is born." I marvel, we should all marvel at the fact that God chose to send His Son into the world and to send Him as our Redeemer, but not to send Him as He will be in the future, as we read in the book of Revelation, but to send Him rather as a baby, as one who is weak in all human understanding. Babies don't come ready to do anything except for what babies do. Coo and eat and sleep and other things that babies do. But they are helpless. They are in need. They are dependent upon others, a mother caring for a child. They're in need of a father caring for a child and helping to provide and to care for his family. And that family is in need of God to provide for them. God made Himself manifest in coming into humanity as a newborn babe. The Gospel of Luke in the New Testament, in Luke chapter number 2, this is the text in which we have read the account, the Gospel of Luke, through the Advent season this year. In Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 11, Luke 2 and verse number 11, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David," speaking of Bethlehem, "a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." A Savior who is Christ the Lord. He is going to rule and to reign, and He would come into the story of His creation. As the Creator Himself, He would enter into the story, and He would enter in as an heir to a throne would enter in, a baby born and yet already the heir of that kingdom. And He would come and He would be born, and He would be born in the city of David. He would be the child king, even so that Herod would search for Him to kill Him by the time He was 2 years old. Because it had been pronounced that there was a new king that had been born, a king over Israel. This fulfillment 700 years later of Jesus coming into the world is something we should still marvel at. It says, unto us, not only in Isaiah chapter number 9, unto us a child is born, but unto us a son is given. Unto us a son is given. And the first thought you might think of is, yes, this is the son of Joseph and Mary. That seems appropriate. And yet the connotation, I believe, of Isaiah chapter 9 is that this is a son that is given, but it's a son that is given that like no other son. This is not just the son of Joseph and Mary. This is the Son of the Most High. This is the Son of the Father. This is the second person of the Trinity. This is God the Son who always was and who always will be. And yet He entered into the story of humanity. The Son sent by the Father above. Don't we know the Scripture well? And we should never forget its importance or forget to remember its significance just because it is known by the peoples of the world. John 3:16 should burn in our hearts with thanksgiving when we remember, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. It is none other than the Son of God. And he was given as a gift to all the world. And he brings gifts to all, the gift of salvation to all that would call upon his glorious name. Tonight, I would be failing you if I did not say that this Christmas and this season, even where we model in just a little shadow of the gifts that has been given by God as we give gifts to one another, if I didn't express to you that this gift of eternal life, this gift of a son, is given by the Father himself, and it's available to all who would call upon his name. Romans still says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, repenting of your sin, believing the gospel, that all of that is included in that, that you will receive the greatest gift that could ever be received. And it is a gift that will not fade like this year's toys that will be given, or kindnesses or gifts that will be exchanged. Those will all, no matter how wonderful they are, they will all fade away. But the gift of eternal life will remain forever. The prophet Isaiah declared, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. We think of this, and I know a lot of people want to focus on kind of politicizing Jesus and really making him kind of the forerunner of their political party, but that's not what this is talking about. This is speaking of the fact that all governments will be upon his shoulder. He will be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Even the people of his day when he was born, when he came into this into the world as a man, and they welcomed him as king, they laid palm branches down before him just a couple of weeks before he would be crucified, because they welcomed him as the king, and they thought in Jerusalem that there was going to be one who would remove all the Roman rule, and they would bring glory back to Israel. And yet that wasn't his plan. It was bigger than that. It was grander than that. And his kingdom is over all the earth, and his subjects are all those who call upon his name, from every tribe and nation and kindred and people of the world. And all of his enemies one day will be crushed under his foot. The government will be upon his shoulders. We know and know well the scripture from Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18, speaking of what we call the great commandment in the New Testament, where before Jesus ascends to heaven, he gives this commission, these words to his disciples, and he says something very interesting. It says in verse number 18 of Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. What is he declaring? He is declaring that the power of governments, of kings, of everything, of every human being, even of all of creation, is something under his control. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. There is no domain that his power does not have rule over. And he tells us, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And amen. He was born as the child, the promised king, the one who would sit on the throne of David forever. He came unto us as the promised Son of God. And he has all power abiding with him. He is indeed omnipotent. And his name is unique as well. His name is above every name. His name is an expression of power and glory and beauty and wonder. His name, it says, shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. The book of Judges says that this is the secret name, which means the separate one, surpassing all others, beyond apprehension. That name, Wonderful, means it's beyond even what we could, in the New Testament, I'll use these words, ask or think. The name of God that is declared over God, the Son, the name that God, the Son has, is a name that is wonderful. It exceeds all other names. It is a name filled with glory and majesty, power and dominion. The book of Philippians says it this way: Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The cruel, wretched cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. His name is Wonderful. He is the Counselor. He is indeed the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. And it is his name and his name alone that men and women, boys and girls, must call on in order to be saved. There is no other name that saves than the name of Jesus. He is called Mighty God, the Mighty God, and the Everlasting Father. Never think that Jesus Christ was merely a creation of God to do the bidding of God. Jesus Christ is God, and he is from the beginning. John's gospel says, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And that is still the reality today. He is the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus tells us in Titus 2 and verse number 13, we are to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And lastly, he is the Prince of Peace. I think about all that we face in this life. And I would be the first one to confess that we experience many joys and blessings and wonderful things and experiences in this life. And yet, all of us, I think as we age, all of us experience enough of life to realize that there are a lot of hard things. There's nobody that you know, there is nobody that has ever lived that doesn't have troubling times. No one. Just like there is not a just man that doeth good and sinneth not. There is no one that does not have trouble over, even in their spirit, over their own struggles of sin. And the sin of others that committed against them. And we all need to be reminded that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He is the one that brings peace to our lives. What troubles us in this life can only be brought to peace by Jesus. This is visually seen in the life of Jesus when he was out in the midst of the storm and his disciples began to be scared, and Jesus they saw coming to them walking on the waters, which would scare them even more, as it would you. And eventually he said to the storm, "Peace, be still." And it was still. And he's the one that in this moment, in your turmoil, in your storm, in that which is raging in your life, and you're going to maybe every other thing under the sun to try to bring some semblance of peace, you must go to the Prince of Peace. Go to Jesus, and he is the one who can bring peace to your life. Even if the storm is still raging, there can be peace in your heart. Because the Prince of Peace is there. I pray tonight, as we have gathered, and as we light candles tonight, and this room will go from darkness to light, that we would remember that Christ is the light of the world. You know what he tells us? That we too are called to bear witness of that light. And not to hide our light under a bushel or under the house, but we're to set it on a candlestick, let it give light to all that can see, all within the house. And we're to be a light set on a hill in the darkness that is around us. And tonight, at this candlelight service, I'm going to ask our ushers to come. And we're going to light these candles. And I want it to be a reminder to you, if you are one who has known this glorious gift of eternal life, and you have experienced Christ's light of eternal life in you, that you would remember that when you leave this place tonight, you are called to be that light in the world that is around you.